ברוכים הבאים רבותיי. Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. We are studying Parashat Lech Lecha. In our Parasha we read in Perek Tet Zayin, V'Sarai Eshet Avraham Lo Yalda Lo. Sarai, the wife of Abraham, was barren. She did not have children. Ve'la shefcha mitzrit u'shma Hagar. She had a maidservant, a mitzrit. Her name was Hagar. Va'tomer Sarai el Avram, hinina atzarani Adonai miledet. God has restrained me from conceiving, from giving birth. Bo na el shefchati. Go with my shefcha. Go with my maidservant, take her. Ulai ibane mimena. Maybe I will build myself through her. Rashi HaKadosh points out, from here we learn that a woman that does not have children is broken. She's destroyed. And therefore she said, Ulai ibane, maybe I could rebuild myself. Vayishma Avraham nekol Sarai. So Avraham listens. And he takes Hagar as a wife. She gets pregnant. And then she starts to mistreat Sarai. The pasuk says, "Vatereki harata." She saw that she got pregnant. Va'ekal be'eneha. She started to, the esteem of Sarai became lower in her eyes. Rashi HaKadosh says, she claimed, I must be a bigger tzaddiket than you are. You're not genuine. You act like a tzaddiket on the outside, Sarah, but inside you must not be so righteous, because you've been married to the tzaddik for how many years and you couldn't get pregnant? I got pregnant already from the first shot. And therefore she started to disparage Sarah Imenu. Vayomer Avraham el Sarai, hineh shefchatech biyadech, do what you want. She runs away. Rashi points out, when it says that he sent her out, she got the Ayin Hara Hagar, and she had a miscarriage. Nothing came out of that pregnancy. She goes to the field, the angel sees her. What happened, Hagar? What's going on? Where are you? What are you doing? So I'm running away. The angel says, go back. Don't worry. You're going to get pregnant. So that she says, what do you mean? I thought she was pregnant already. No, she had a miscarriage. Go back and get pregnant again. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to name the child. Inach harav yuladet ben. Vekarat shemo Yishmael. You're going to call him Yishmael. Ki shama Adonai. El Onyech. Because God has heard your pain, or God has heard your request, or your suffering. Sure enough, she goes back, she gets pregnant. Abraham is 86 years old, and they have Yishmael. The Mefarshim ask over here a very simple and fundamental question. The name Yishmael. Yishmael literally means God will listen. Yishmael. But shouldn't the name be Shama'el? After all, God heard the prayer of Hagar. She doesn't have another prayer after this. This is the prayer for the child. She got answered. So why the name Yishmael? This is not my question. This is the question brought down by the Bnei Yisachar in Chodesh Tishri. He has a piece on this. So he says a very big chiddush, which I think has very important ramifications. This is what I came to tell you tonight. He says, if you go further on in the parasha, God then tells Abraham he's going to have a child from Sarah. ויאמר אלוהים אל אברהם, שרה אשתך, change her name, וברכתי אותה, וגם נתתי ממנה לך בן. Good news, she's going to have a son as well. ויפול אברהם על פניו, אברהם falls down. ויאמר אברהם אלוהים, לו ישמעאל יחיה לפניך. I'm happy with ישמעאל. Now you're giving me even more than I dreamt of. ויאמר אלוהים, no, אבל indeed, שרה אשתך יולדת לך בן, וקראת את שמו יצחק. Also, he predicts the name. Now listen to the pesukim. Vakimoti et biriti ito. God says, I will keep my covenant. The covenant that I made with you is going to transfer to Yitzhak. Nebrit olam. It's a covenant for the ages. Lezaro achara. For him, his children, and all the descendants. What a great news. It's a double good news. Number one, you're going to have a baby from Sarah. And number two, he's going to be benefiting the covenant. And then the next pasuk, Ud Yishma'el Shema'ticha. And regarding Yishma'el, I heard you. Hine berachti oto, I blessed him. Vefreti oto, and he's going to multiply. Virbeti oto, he's going to be prosperous. Bim'od me'od, what a blessing. Bim'od me'od. The question is, God is talking about the birth of Yitzhak. From where do you spoil it with Yishma'el? And you're going to have a son from your primary wife, Sarah. And you're going to call him Yitzhak. What a news. Yom Simcha Yisrael. And then he's going to have a brit. And he's going to have a covenant. And the covenant is going to be Lezaro Acharav. And regarding Yishma'el, also, who cares about Yishma'el? What does it got to do with the birth of Yitzhak that you have to throw in Yishma'el? Let Yitzhak have his moment. Let him have his kavod. What does Borei Olam have to mix Yishma'el into the picture? So Rashi HaKadosh, over here, an amazing Rashi, the Pasuk says, Davar Acher, Amar Rabbi Abba, Mikan, Lamad Kal Vachomer. She says, from this pasuk of Yishma'el, you can make what's called the Kal Vachomer. You all know what a Kal Vachomer is. Maybe you don't know what a Kal Vachomer is. Basically, a Kal Vachomer is one of the ways we study the Torah. It's an argument that goes something like this. If somebody that's weak is able to carry 50 pounds, so Kal Vachomer, somebody that's strong, certainly should be able to carry at least 50 pounds. That's the way Kal Vachomer works. If the Kal has the law, certainly the Homer, Kal Vachomer, we would say all the more so. So this pasuk over here, regarding the blessing of Yishma'el, it invokes a Kal Vachomer. What's the Kal Vachomer? Ben ha-gibira b'ben ha-ama. Sarah Aminu is called the Givira. She's the mistress. She's the princess, let's say. And Hagar is called the Ama, the maidservant. Kiti v'ne berachti oto, v'freti oto, v'herbeti oto, regarding Yishma'el, who's the ben ha-ama. He's only the son of the maidservant. Now what a blessing. Ze Yishma'el. V'kal b'chomer v'et b'riti akim et Yitzhak. If Yishma'el, who's the son of the maidservant, now look at the beracha that he gets. Kal b'chomer, the blessing that Yitzhak Avinu is going to get. If the secondary son gets all these perks, kal b'chomer, the primary son certainly should get this and more, if anything. Kal b'chomer. Question is, in respect to the pesukim, I don't know why I need this Kal Vachomer. The pasuk says, "Vakimoti et biriti ito lebrit olam lezaro acharav." God already promised Abraham he's going to have the covenant. The covenant is going to be forever. What do you need a second pasuk to say? And not only that, but we're going to make a Kal Vachomer from Yishma'el. See, at least that she helped me. What Yishma'el is doing over here? Yishmael is not written for him. It's written for Yitzhak. That if Yishmael is going to get a blessing, Kavachomer, Yitzhak is going to get a blessing. What do I need it for? God told him he's going to get a blessing already. In order to understand these Pesukim, we need to go back and review something that we've spoken at length in our Derashot. And that is the concept of Kal Vachomer. Every morning in our prayers, we say, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, V'shlosh esrei midot ha-Torah nidreshet. Our Torah is studied using 13 principles. And then Rabbi Yishmael lists them. And the first of the 13 principles is what? Mikal Vachomer. That's one of the ways we study Torah. Lehavdil. They're geometric theorems. To study geometry, you have to know the theorems. In any field of study, there's the rules. In Torah also, there's 13 principles. Gezer HaShavah, Vinyan Av, Klal Prat Klal, and so on and so forth. But the first one is called the Kal Vachomer. The Sfarim HaKedoshim say, there's something else in our religion that also is 13. And what is that? The Shlosh Esrei Midot Shel Rachamim. God has 13 attributes of mercy. According to Rabbeinu Ha'ari, the 13 attributes of mercy are El, Rahum, Vechanun. El is the first one. And then Rahum is the second one. And Hanun is the third one. And you count them, you'll see there's 13 attributes of mercy. And these attributes represent God's infinite kindness. We say it on Yom Kippur 26 times, according to our tradition. Every Monday and Thursday, we say the Yud Gimel Midot Shel Rachamim. So the Sfarim say, 13 Midot Shatona Nedreshet, 13 Midot Shel Rachamim, they correspond with each other. Which means, the first Midah of the Torah Nedreshet, which is Kal Vachomer, corresponds to the first Midah of the Yud Gimel Midot, which is El. And the second one is Gezerah Shavah, that corresponds to the second Midah of Rahum. And the third one, and so on and so forth. Now what is Shem El? What does that name represent? When you say the name El, what does it represent? So Rabbeinu Ari says, it's the ultimate chesed. Like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'chesed El kol hayom. Ultimate kindness and benevolence and goodness comes from the Shem Kel. So the tzaddikim say, how do I activate Shem Kel? I want the Shem Kel to shower on me. I want to open up the treasure of Kel. So all the beracha from that Shem of Chesed will come down on me. How do you open it up? So you know what they say? They say, make Kal Vachomers. If you make a Kal Vachomer, that's the key to open up Shem Kel. Because that's the first Midah, and that's the first Midah as well. The members of our Daf Yomi class know this already. Any morning that we read a Gemara and we get to a Kal Vachomer, you see a smile break out on everybody's face. Everybody in the Shi'ur right away said, this is our lucky day. Today we're making a Kal Vachomer, then go buy a lottery ticket, go make business. Today we're going to be very successful. It's almost as if the Kal Vachomer has an ability to sweeten the judgments. God forbid if there's a judgment, the judgment would be called Homer. Homer is Deen. Kal is something easy. When you put the Kal and the Homer together, you're sweetening the judgments. And therefore, it activates Shem Kel and there's Beracha. It's incredible. I think I told you that the Ben Ish Chai, the Ben Yosef Chaim in Baghdad, he has a book of tefillot. So I was looking at the book, there's different tefillot on the Ketoret, the Segula of the Ketoret, and he has certain berachot from the Tehillim. All of a sudden, I turn a few pages, I see Tefillat HaKal Vachomer Al Choleh. The prayer of the Kal Vachomer for sick people. The prayer of the Kal Vachomer. That's the prayer of the Kal Vachomer, so that. And basically what it is, he quoted 20 Kal Vachomers from the Gemara or from the Mishnah. And he says, to read all the Kal Vachomers, just read them. Umma, Kal Vachomer, read them. And after you finish, he makes a special prayer. Ribbono shel Olam. In the Zichut that I mentioned all these Kavachomers, please activate your holy name, El. And then he says, El Narefana Lo, El Narefana Lo, El Narefana Lo. Which is the prayer of Refuah. So before you can say El, you gotta open it up. So he opens it up with these 20 Kavachomers. Amazing. And if you think about it, if you go back to the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to pray for his sister Miriam, Miriam had leprosy. She was metzora'at. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to pray that she should get better. In that parasha, you see something very strange. She's put into solitary confinement. So they don't know how long does she have to be in the solitary confinement for. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes along, if you look at the Pesukim, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu says like this, Ve'aviha yarak befaneha. If her father would cast her away, if her father would be angry at her, how long would she have to be casted away? For at least 7 days. Kal v'chomer, if God gets angry at her, at least 7 days. Maybe more, but at least 7 days. Very interesting. Borei Olam makes a kal v'chomer. From where? Why couldn't God just tell Moshe 7 days? No, it's the sums. And what if her physical father would get upset? She should be thrown out for 7 days. Kal v'chomer if her father in heaven. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard the kal v'chomer, he got excited. He said, that means God, kiviyachol, is telling me that he just opened up Shem Kel. That's why right after the kal v'chomer, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Kel na refana la. Because he understood that now is the moment of tefillah, because he heard the kal v'chomer. So the Ben Yishchai followed that principle. He said, make the kal v'chomer, and he said, kel na refana la. This is a concept that we see throughout Yehadut, where there's kal v'chomer, there's chesed. So the Nefashim say like this. Yitzhak received the covenant. As it says, Vakimoti et biniti ito lebrit olam ulzaru aharav. But that covenant is only applicable if we deserve it. Which means, if Am Yisrael is faithful to the Torah, and we're keeping the mitzvot, and Am Yisrael is acting in the proper way, God says, of course. But that beracha doesn't guarantee a covenant if chas v'shalom we're not fulfilling the mitzvot. From that first covenant, it's possible that if Am Yisrael, chas v'shalom, veers away from the path, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, listen, no deal. I don't have to choose you anymore. I'm going to choose another nation. This is not an automatic. This first brit is a brit where you have to deserve it. We're in trouble. Because if that's the only way we have a brit, because we deserve it, who in the room, who in the Am Yisrael is going to say, we deserve the brit? Today in such a corrupt world, where the averot are so mitzuyot, can anybody say, yeah, we deserve it? According to one opinion of the Gemara, even Zechut Avot ran out. You're talking about Zechut Avot. Zechut Avot, the bank account is empty. We used that already. We cleaned that account out already. Zechut Avot Tamu. So now we're running on fumes. So how is Am Yisrael existing? That's the second pasuk. The second pasuk says, Ul Yishmael. I'm going to give Yishmael beracha. Comes the rabbis and say, oh, this is a great thing because now we can make a kal v'chomer. If Yishmael, who's not worthy of the blessing, v'chi Yishmael deserves the beracha, v'chi the tzaddikim, we know not like that. And still God says, Vifriti, Vibeti, we're going to give them. So Kalvahomer, if the Ben Ama gets it undeservingly, Kalvahomer, the Ben HaGevira should get it. So this Pasuk over here is our claim to fame. Our existence comes from the second Pasuk from the Kalvahomer. That's where we have our existence today. That even if Yisrael is Hata, Yisrael who? Israel shechata, afapi shechata Israel. We never lose our status. Ahavat olam avtich. God says, I love you eternally. The love of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not talui on our deeds. God can never divorce us. It's a covenant, unconditional. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And where is that covenant? From Ishmael. Now we understand why they call him Ishmael. You know what Ishmael means? Yishma'el. What is El, I told you? El is the Kalvachomer. Yishma'el, God is going to hear the Kalvachomer, and therefore what? Yishma'el le-Yisrael. Not for you. Yishmael's name should have been Shama'el. But God will listen to the prayers of Am Yisrael. Why? Because of Ishmael. Because if he's the Ben Ha'ama, and he gets all these perks, we're the Ben HaGebira. So therefore, Yishma'el Yisrael. His name is not for him, his name is for us. And that's why Avraham Avinu called him that name as well. But the Kavanah was for our benefit. Oh. If that's the case, I want to tell you something that Rabbeinu Ha'ari says. Although it just passed, it's something he said regarding Hosha'na Rabbah, but you'll remember for next year. He said, we have a minhag on Hosha'na Rabbah, where we make hakafot around the teva. We make 7 hakafot. And we take the aravot with us, and we go around, and after that kafot, we go outside, we take the aravot, and we bang them on the ground. Habit, 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 vela barich. So he says that when you go around the teva, there's a special kavana you should have. You should think of the name of God, El. Aleph Lamed. It's an easy kavana. You don't have to be a mikubal to do this over here. This is Kabbalah for the layman. But how do you have the kavanah, he says? You have kavanah el b'milu'o, b'milu'i. You think of an aleph, aleph lamed pe, aleph, which equals 111. And then you think of the lamed, aleph lamed. Lamed is lamed mem dalid, which is 74. 111 and 74 is how much?
185.
185 is absolutely correct. So he says, el b'milu'o is 185, which is the same gematria as the word hekef. Hekef is to go around. He is 5, kuf is 100, pe is 80. Easy kavanah. Before you make the revolution, you think, kel b'milu'o, 185, zoop, make a revolution, think about it again, kel. Why? Why is that done on Hosha'na Rabbah? Why is that the kavanah? The explanation is as follows. On Sukkot, on the 7 days of Sukkot, we bring a total of 70 bulls, 70 parim, 70 animals. On the first day of Sukkot, we bring 13 of them. On the second day of Sukkot, we bring 12. And then we bring 11. And then we bring 10. And if you make the Hashbon, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, count it all together, it's 70. And then on Shemini Atzeret, which is the eighth day, we bring one bull. So the rabbis ask, what's the 70? What's the one? They say the 70 is Keneged, the 70 nations of the world. We're bringing Kurbanot to the 70 nations of the world? So the Sefarim say, yes, we want to bring Shefa to all the nations of the world. We're bringing them prosperity. We're bringing them Beracha. So much so, the Gemara says, if the Goyim would have realized how much the Beit HaMikdash benefited them, they would never have destroyed it. If they would only know we're working for you, Tipshim, you're destroying the Beit HaMikdash. You know we have a holiday where we bring korbanot for your benefit. So you're spiting yourself. Now we can't bring the korbanot for you. Now what? You took away our Beit HaMikdash. You lost the beracha yourself. If they would know how much benefit they get from the Beit HaMikdash. Says the rabbis, we want to give prosperity to the Goyim? What is that all about? Since when did we become so kind? It's the same religion that every morning we get up and say, Shelo asani goy. Shelo asani goya. But bring them korbanot. Let them have prosperity. Let them have beracha. Each nation. This is for China. And the next one we have kavanah for Europe. And this one is over here kavanah for Russia. Every day another animal for a different nation. By the end of the holiday, all 70 are covered. And then, of course, we bring on the eighth day, which is Shemini Atzeret. One part. Who's the one part? It's us. What are we only going to give to others? We want for ourselves. You know what the pshat is? A deep interpretation. We want the goyim to have prosperity. Ah, exactly. Because if they have prosperity, then we can make the kal vachomer. If they have success, then already we could say, God, if they're getting all this stuff and they're the ben hashifha, they don't come from the primary source. They're not considered the primary. Certainly, if they're undeserving and they get it, we're the primary, we're the chosen ones, we come from ben gebira, certainly we should. So it's our advantage to get them to have a little beracha, so we can get from the... So we bring the 70 first, and then we bring the one. Give them. Are they going to get? Good. Then we definitely have to get. Since sometimes you give to get. We're not giving because we want to give necessarily. We're giving because... Which day of the holiday do we reach the 70?
Seventh.
On the seventh day, which is Hoshana Rabba. So says Rabbeinu Ari, on the seventh day when you're making the hakafot, on that day, you should have kavana shem el b'milu'o, which is gematria hekef, because shem el activates the kal vachomer. Because that's the kavana on the hakafot. That if a kadosh baruch hu, you're giving them and they don't deserve it, so even if we don't deserve it, activate shem kel, we should make the kal vachomer. That's the depth. And I went on to explain further. That's why on Hoshana Rabbah, we have four species in the Lulav. Each species represents another type of Jew. The Etrog is the Tzaddik. It smells good, it looks good, it tastes good. And the Lulav represents another type of Jew which is good. Hadas, another type of Jew that's good. But the Arava, lo ta'am ve'lo rayach. The Arava has no taste, has no smell. The rabbis say, the Arava represents the Jew that doesn't have too much. The Jew is Arava Jew. Isn't it strange? Hoshana Rabbah, which was one of the holiest days of the year. And what's the mitzvah on Hoshana Rabbah? The Arava. In the Beit HaMikdash, you should circle the mizbeach with the Aravot. We don't do that today. We hit the Aravot, but and then we save them, and we kiss them, we put them on top of our door. It's a big thing, the Aravot. I would have said, you know what? Hoshana Rabbah, such a holy day, it should be the Etrog day. Everybody should juggle the Etrog, make jelly out of it, do something with the Etrog. Why does Hoshana Rabbah become the day of the Aravah? It's the day of the Rasha. Exactly the point. Because on Hoshana Rabbah, we're telling Borei Olam, even if Am Yisrael is like an Arava, Kal Bahomer, we still deserve it, because the Goyim are also like Arabot. And they're getting all the Beracha, and they're getting all the Shefa. So Hoshana Rabbah is the day of the Arava Jew. And even if we messed up, and even if nobody should think that God ever forsakes us. Nobody should ever think God doesn't love me anymore. I'm such a Abarian that God has threw me away. Wrong. That's the day of the Arava. That's the case. So this pasuk over here, by the way, ולישמעאל שמעתיקה הנה ברכתי אותו והפניתי אותו. We read this in Shabbat, we don't make a big deal out of this pasuk. But this pasuk is our key. ישמעאל הזה ברכה, קל וחומר אז, שם כן, we're living off this pasuk. ישמעאל לישראל. According to this, we said something else. In this week's parasha, or next week's parasha, we read about the story actually over here we read about the story of Sodom. And God already decides to destroy Sodom. Like we're going to read. Not to destroy Sodom. Eshaim, Sodom is Banshe, Sodom, Ra'im, Bahataim, Nashem. Terrible, terrible. Avraham Avinu goes to defend Sodom, which we're shocked. Defend Sodom. I mean, there's one thing to do Hesed, but you're going to defending the worst criminals. And he's negotiating with God. Maybe we can find 50 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim, something. He's going on a limb to save Sodom. Why? Not only that, if you look at the way Avraham Avinu prefaced his tefillah, before he comes to God, he says to God, please God, hinei nahu alti. I'm being a little forceful. I'm pushing a little. But please, ba'anuchi afar va'efer. I know I'm nothing, I'm not worthy. Afar va'efer, afar is dust. Efer is ashes. Avraham Avinu, he doesn't want to be arrogant when he's praying. Who am I? If God says he wants to destroy Sodom, I'm going to say don't destroy. So Avraham Avinu says, I'm nothing, anuchi afar va'efer. But we explained it like this. You know why God Avraham was praying for Sodom? Because if God could save Sodom, who are a bunch of the Sha'im, then we can make the Kal Vachomer. Then we could come along and say, if the Sha'im, God can have mercy on, can come home and he can have mercy on Am Yisrael when they make sins. It's to our advantage. Whenever God has mercy on the Sha'im, we can always use it to protect us. That means Avraham Avinu was basically saying the same concept of the 70 parim that we bring on Sukkot, in order to give them sustenance, so we can have a beracha for ourselves. So Avraham Avinu says, "Vanochi afar." You know what afar stands for? Ayin par, ayin par. Ve'efer. You know what efer stands for? Aleph par. Avraham Avinu says, "Vanochi." What am I doing? What do you think I'm praying for? Why am I praying for Sodom? Vanochi. You know why I'm praying? Afar ve'efer. It's the same concept of the ayin par and the aleph par. Give them. So we can take back to ourselves. I want to make the Kal Vachomer. This was his concept. It's to protect Am Yisrael. If this is true, there's an amazing Ramban in this week's Parasha. Sorry to say, I think most people do not have the proper understanding in this Ramban. They're struggling to understand it. But I think we have a derech. You remember when Abraham and Sarah, they go down to Egypt. They go down to Egypt and Sarah is very pretty. She's white. The Egyptians are black. They see a white lady, they couldn't believe they ever saw such a thing. Before she knows it, she's in the palace with Paro. So the Pasuk says, Vehikebo Avram Misraima, they saw her, ki yafahi meod. Vehiru ota sarefar o, the sarefar o siha. Vehalelu ota, they say, oh, this is, she's worthy for the king. Ul Avram etib ba'avura, they thought Avram was the brother. So they're trying to, get on his good side. Vehilotson, bakar, hamurim, abadin, so they gave him everything. They opened an open check. And now Sarah's in the palace. What happens? Vaynaga Hashem et Paro negaim gedolim. All of a sudden, Paro gets smitten. Great makot. Great. He was about to touch Sarah. All of a sudden, Sarah Boom, she tells the Malach, beat him up. Boom, he's getting smashed. Vayikra Far'o l'Avraham, so Par'o calls Avraham, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? Lama lo yigat liki ishtechai? Why didn't you tell me it's your wife? You should have told me it was your wife. I thought it was your sister. I didn't. You know what the Ben Ish'ai says? The Ben Ish'ai says amazing. He says, you know why Avraham Avinu didn't tell him that it's his wife? Seemingly, that would be the best answer. It's my wife. Oh, it's your wife. I don't want to take her married. He says, because by the Goyim, if he would have told him that's his wife, he has a bigger desire for her. Because now it's forbidden waters, forbidden fruit. Mayim genuvim yimtaku. So he says, now she's married, now already there's a forbidden side to it. Now it becomes a little... The Gemara, the end of Nedarim. Gemara says there was a man that committed adultery. And then somebody poisoned the husband. So right away they suspect that it's the adulterer that poisoned the husband. So Gemara says, no, maybe not. Why? Because the adulterer wants the husband to be alive. So the sin is more sweet. If he's alive, and now it becomes unbelievable. Anyway, so now Paro makes himself like a tzaddik. How come you didn't tell me it was your wife? What do you think? I'm not a pervert. If you would have told me it's your wife, I would have abstained. What do you think? I'm one of those Maim Genuvim guys. Why did you tell me it's your sister? What kind of business is this? You fooled me. Here's your wife. Go. By Sabah Lev Paro Anashim, Paro gives a royal decree, by Shalichu Oto Vet Eshto Vet Koshlo, royal entourage out of Egypt. Says Ramban, why did this happen? Says that I'm bound like this. Beautiful. Hine Avraham yarad le Misraim. You know why Avraham went down to Misraim? There's a famous rule. Ma'aseh avot, siman lebani. Whatever the avot did in their lives, that would create the template of Jewish history. Their lives were a futurama. That would be a precursor to the events that would happen to Am Yisrael. They acted as prat, as individuals, but their individual actions would have ramifications on the klal. If Avraham goes down to Egypt, you could mark on your calendars, one day the Jewish people are going to go down to Egypt. That wasn't just Stam, going down to Egypt to visit. He was creating Jewish history. Says Ramban, Hine Avraham yarad le Misraim. Why did he go down to Misraim? It says, Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz. What would happen many years later? Yaakov Avinu would be with his family in Eretz Kana'an. And there would be a famine in Eretz Kana'an. And the famine would cause them to go down to Egypt. Deja vu all over again. That means the chromosome or the DNA strand that causes Yaakov and his family to go down to Egypt when there was a famine, the DNA is created by Avraham Avinu and Sarah. V'amisrim ashku oto chinam lakahat et eshto. And the Egyptians took his wife. They abused his wife. But they weren't successful. Says Ramban, later on the Egyptians would make a decree against the Jewish people. Throw all the boys in the river. But keep the girls alive. But Paroza became a feminist. Throw the girls in also. Drown them all. Says Ramban, no, because his kavanah was keep the girls alive so you could abuse them. Just like Paro had intention to abuse Sarah, it would happen again. But they would fail. Because what would happen to Paro? Vaynaga oto nigaim gedolim. God gave him Makot. Says the Ramban, והקדוש ברוך הוא ינקום נקמתם בנגעים גדולים. The ten מכות. Those נגעים that came on פרעו would come down דהם, ספרדי, הקנים, ערוב. And מכת בכורות. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, what night on the calendar did Sarah go into Paro's palace in this episode? Take a guess. Geniuses. The 15th of Nisan, Leil Pesach. The night of the Makat Bechorot, Leil Makat Bechorot, the 14th of Nisan. So this already is the same date. Not only that, what does Paro give Avraham in the story? Hamor, son, bakar, kesef. What's the explanation? Ad sheyotziem bekesef ezahav, when the Jewish people left Egypt, they left with all the wealth. That's why he says, this would happen again to Avraham Avinu when he went to Pilishtim. Avimelech would offer him money. What does Avraham tell Avimelech? Not interested in your money. But when Paro gave it to him, he took it. Because he wasn't taking it for himself. He was creating Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. When the Jewish people leave Egypt, he wants them to come out with money. If he doesn't take, the Jewish people are not going to be able to take. And they're owed a lot of back pay. So Abraham says, this I'm taking. And how does he leave Mitzrayim? With an escort. The Pasuk says, Vayshalichu. They send him. Says Ramban. And just like Paro escorted Abraham out of the land, later on Paro would escort Am Yisrael. Lo nafal davar mikol meora ha'av shelo yiyeh babanim. Everything that happened to the father, what happened to Am Yisrael? When somebody wants to know, what did the rabbi talk about this week in the class? He was talking about Yisiat Mitzrayim. Yisiat Mitzrayim. He couldn't wait till he got to Parashat Shemot. What did he jump to Yisiat Mitzrayim for? Wait till that's all Parashat Yisiat Mitzrayim over here. What do you think the root of Yisiat Mitzrayim is over here, the story over here? Why do I have to wait to the end of the story? I want to catch it at the Mekor, at the source. Avraham Avinu said, I go down to Egypt, finished. Unbelievable Ramban. Now listen to the next paragraph. This is where it gets a little tricky. Veda. Ki Avraham Avinu chata het gadol. Mishkaga. Avraham Avinu made a big sin. It's a Ramban. Mishkaga. Funny. Big sin. Mishkaga. שהביא אשתו הצדקת במכשול עוון. He brought his wife into the lion's den. You're going to bring such a pretty lady down to Egypt, it's bound to be trouble. And why? He says, tell them you're my sister, I'm your brother. והיה לו לפתוח בשם שיציל אותו ואת אשתו ואת כל אשר לו. Where was Abraham's faith? What does he have to lie for and put Sarah in trouble? Just trust God. Ki yesh b'Elohim kawach la'azor ul'hatzil. God has power to save anybody from any situation. Gam yitziato min ha'aretz. Why did he leave the land of Israel? Because there's a famine? So what? You don't have enough faith that God can't provide you some food? How much food do you need? You remember when Eliyahu Navi was in the cave? God sent him every day food. How? Ravens. The ravens came every day with a la carte on a tray. And where did the food come from? From Ahab's kitchen. The ravens would go every day to the kitchen of Ahab. They would take a tray of food, breakfast and bed. They want to be every day. That's what Ramban says. I'm not saying it. I would never say this. Ramban says, Gam yitziyatum ala shel istabeh alav avon asher hata. What God could save him from death. don't know. First the Ramban starts off telling me Ma'aseh Avot Siman Rabbanim. Everything is calculated. Everything is b'hashbon. He took the money. He got the makor. He's setting up Jewish history. I'm excited. And then all of a sudden he makes a U-turn. Oh, hata hata gedola. He shouldn't have went. He shouldn't have done this. He should have been a famine. Unless you tell me it's two different opinions. Or unless you say that no, this is a continuation of the Ma'aseh Avot Siman Rabbanim. What do I mean to say? Incidentally, this piece of Ramban is a Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar says the Ramban would not go on his own and say Hata, Hayat Gedola and all that. It's Bifirush in the Zohar. Explanation is like this. Isn't it interesting to note that in last week's parasha we talk about Noah? And when the Torah introduces Noah, first we give me a beautiful bio. Ille toledot. Noah is Sadiq, Tamim. They give me a whole hesped on Noah. The Torah reads Halela Gadol. Sadiq ayam betorotav, etayilu metalich Noah. Unbelievable. First it gives me his credentials. Sadiq, Tamim, etayiluim. 10 generations later, we get to Avraham Avinu. How does the parasha start? Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. Hey, who's Avraham? Who is he? Give me the intro. Give me the same intro. It's worse than Noah. Tell me. Ele toledot Avraham. Avraham Sadiq, Hasid, Kadosh, monotheism, father of the name. And now give me this. Why doesn't Avraham Avinu get the same opening remarks as Noah? And even our rabbis tell us, at the end of Parashat Noah, Avraham Avinu was thrown into a fiery furnace. Nimrod threatened him that if he doesn't accept the Avodah Zarah, he's going to throw him into a furnace. Oh yeah, I didn't read that. Where is that written, by the way? So the rabbis tell us, well, it's not written clearly. There's two words. It says, Ur Kazdim. The fires of Kazdim. Oh, fires of Kazdim. The Gemara says the whole story. What, you don't tell me that story explicitly? When it came to Noah, you tell me the whole story of the flood with all the details, Shnayim, Shnayim, and then it came to the Teba, and then there was 3 floors, and how we fed them, and everything. Avraham Avinu sacrifices his life for God. Ur Kazdim. Ur Kazdim, I don't know what Ur Kazdim is. What's Ur Kazdim? Oh, there's a whole story behind those 2 words. But tell me the story. And then the brother says, Lech Lecha, go. Who's Avraham? First, who he tell me who you're talking about? You know what the pshat is? There's a big difference between God's relationship with the Goyim, B'nei Noah, and the relationship with B'nei Avraham, Yitzhak, V'Yaakov. The relationship is totally different. B'nei Noah, for them to gain the admiration and the love of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the treaty, you have to be Is Sadiq Tamim. You have to earn it. And if you're not Sadiq and you're not Tamim and you're not the Ta'iluim et Talich Noah, you're out. There are no freebies. Ben Noah Shehata, Hata. You sin. There's no, I love you anyway. You're not my son. You see, my son sins, I love him anyway. But you're Ben Noah, you're strangers. So you want to, I should love you even when you're rebelling? No, that's why when it talks about Ben Noah, it tells me you need credentials. When it comes to Avraham Avinu, you don't need credentials. You don't have to tell me Ur Kazdim. You don't have to tell me Is Sadiq Tamim. Because when it comes to Abraham and his descendants, Afal pi she'enu Tzaddik, Afal pi she'enu Tamim, Afal pi that he makes Averot, doesn't matter, it's unconditional. Because Am Yisrael is considered a child. And a Ben, a child has a different status. Therefore specifically, the Torah doesn't play up Avraham Tzaddik. That's part of the process. We have a different geder. Ah. that's the case, when the Torah comes to tell us about the Nisayon of Avraham Avinu, right away the Zohar says, oh, I made a sin. What happened to Hevedan? It's called Adam Nechav Sechut. The Mishnah says you've got to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I think Avraham is included. If you have to give every guy in the street, a Benoni, the benefit of the doubt, don't you think we should give Avraham Avinu? Maybe we... And guess what? If I wanted to put some thought into it, I could give you very logical reasons why he left Egypt, why he left Canaan for the famine, why he did what he did with his wife. But the Zohar Kadosh is like, has no patience. No, he made a sin. Work it out. No, guilty. Why do you make him guilty? Why doesn't he deserve the same courtesy that we give to every person? But the explanation is because specifically we want to show that even in the beginning, Hata, Chet, Gadol, doesn't matter, God still chose Avraham Avinu. This is the Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim of Yisrael Shechata Yisrael Hu. It's part and parcel of the Ma'aseh Avot. Avraham Avinu, even in this, created a future for Am Yisrael. Because even though he did what he did, you don't see God casting him away. You see Borei Olam still dealing with him. So that already creates a situation that Ahavat Olam Ahavtanu, that the love of God is unconditional. The love of God is not like the love of Ben Noach. There it has to be earned. And therefore we never could lose our Jewishness. This is very consoling to a Jew. Because the Yetzirah likes to tell you, God forgot about you. God doesn't care for you anymore. You're gone. You've abandoned the ship. No. Adrabah, from Avraham Avinu, you say, Afa pi she'ata chet gadol. Of course it wasn't a big sin, because we can explain it. But the Zohar wants to say, chet gadol, let it be chet gadol. For this story, we want to say it's chet gadol. It's our benefit that it's chet gadol. And therefore the Ramban is not contradicting himself. He's continuing another example of Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim. That just like he went down to Egypt, and just like he took the money, and just like he was escorted out, Chata Chetka is almost like an Avera Lishma. Avraham Avinu had to create in the world that even if a person makes a misstep or mistake, doesn't matter, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't shun him. So you see this concept twice. You see it by Avraham Avinu in the beginning of the parasha, and you see it at the end with the Kavachomer from Yishmael. Uma ben amakach, Kavachomer ben agevira. This is a very important theme that runs throughout the parasha. That Am Yisrael have a deen of Ben. With this I will conclude. There's a Gemara. Gemara says when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, he thought it was going to be a walk in the park. Get the Torah, come down, have a party. So the angels protested. The angel said, hey, why are you Lud Shabbin? What was he doing here? What is this earthling doing over here? We're not giving the Torah to him. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, you got to answer them. What does it mean the angels don't want to give the Torah? They have a choice not to give the Torah? Whenever you go to Bet Din, you have to have a claim. You can't just say, I'm not giving it. What do you mean? What's your claim? You have to have a halachic claim. I want to know what the halachic claim of the angels were. That they don't want to give up the Torah. What do you mean? What's your ta'ana? What do you don't want to give up the Torah? I heard from Achav Avadya Yosef. You know what their claim was? There's a law that says, if I have a house, somebody has a house, they put the house up for sale. Guy comes, I'd like to buy a house. How much is the house? You tell him the price, shake hands, make a contract, gives a deposit. Beautiful. You take the for sale sign down. Your neighbor comes to you. Neighbor knocks on the door, but Mr. So, what happened to the for sale sign? Ah, sold it already. What do you mean you sold it already? Who'd you sell it to? To Mr. Flan Flan. No, Mr. Flan Flan. I'm your neighbor. you know what I could do with this house? I could extend my whole property. What is this guy going to do with it? I have a benefit that the other guy does not have. I could double my lot size. Too late. Not too. I'm taking you to Beit Din. Beit Din, here's the case. You know what Beit Din says? Give it to the neighbor. The neighbor has first rights. That's the law of Bar Matzra. The one that's closer gets first rights. Break the deal. So the angels came along and said, hold it. Where's the Torah? The Torah's in heaven. Who's the neighbor? We're the neighbor. We're closer to the... You come from outside. You come from all the way from Earth. 2 million light years away. You come all the way up to the Shaman. Hey, I'm taking the Torah. Hey, Bar Matzra. The neighbor goes first. Take a walk. It's a good claim. Oh, now the angels have a claim. Now it's not Stam. We're keeping the Torah. They're coming with law. How'd Moshe Rabbeinu answer? Moshe Rabbeinu answers like this. Angels, good claim. But let me tell you another story. Same story. Guy put the for sale sign up. His son comes to him. Dad, what are you doing? You're selling the house? Yeah, I want to sell the house. Hey, don't sell. I'll buy it from you. Oh, you'll buy it from me? But it's cost this much. What's the difference? I'll buy it from you. I have sentimental value. I was raised in this house, family house. I don't want you to sell it. He makes the deal with his son. Takes the for sale sign up. Who comes? The neighbor. Hey, I'm the neighbor. What happened? Too late. I sold it to my son. Oh, your son. Your son's from Lafield. I'm your neighbor, Bar Matzra. I want to extend. Too late. I'm taking you to Beit Din. Beit Din tells the neighbor, what's your claim? Bar Matzra, I'm the neighbor. He looks to the other guy, what's your claim? I'm his son. You know what Beit Din rules? The son is closer than the neighbor. The son is like the father. Nobody can be closer than the son. Son goes before the Bar Matzra. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the angels, you're right, you're Bar Matzra. But what does it say in this Torah that you want to keep? Vanim etem laHashem. The Jewish people have a din of ben. And if you have a din of ben, now already we come even before you. And now the angels couldn't say anything. You know what that means, that we have a din of ben? The law is like this. Av, a father, shemachal al kevodo, kevodo machud. Melech shemachal al kevodo, en kevodo machud. A king cannot forgive. Somebody rebels against the king has to punish. But a father could be mohel. Malach Elohim al goyim. When it comes to the goyim, God's a melech. You mess up, you're out. There's no clemency. There's no. But when it comes to Am Yisrael, Banim Atem LaHashem, you're a ben. And therefore, even though you sinned, we can fix it. You can't shake God off. Even if a person goes and he forsakes, you're still Jewish. And God still accepts you to come back. Atan noten yad laposhrim. God sticks his hand out to receive back the poshrim. And where does that all come from? It comes from this line in the Rambam. Vedaki Avraham Abinu Chata Chet Gadol. Chet Gadol b'shkaga. You know what it means? Chet Gadol means it was a great ramification, this sin. Chet Gadol. It was a big ramification for Am Yisrael. It had great credence. Although it was b'shkaga, but we benefited. And we benefit from the Kavah Homer of Yishmael as well. And that's the secret between the Shiv'im Parim and the Parehad. And that's the Kavanah of Kel around the Hakafot, Bimilu'o, Gematria Ekev. And that's why he's called Yishmael. That God will hear the El, which is the Kavah Homer. To who? The Yisrael. And that's why we have El in our name as well, Yisrael. Because our whole existence is from the Shem Kel. Because it comes from the Kal Vachomer. The Kal Vachomer of Yishmael, of Yishmael. He came here. He said, what is he going to say tonight? We know everything already. Especially Parashat Lech Lecha. So he said, oh, he's going to tell us about Sarah and Hagar. And We'll make believe that we never heard it. To make the rabbi feel good. And then you come here and you say, we're learning this parasha for 50 years, we never heard any of this stuff here. Where does this stuff come from? And that's what I always tell you. We're going to come to class Bezat Hashem for the next 100 years, and every year it's a new parasha, it's a new hadush. There's no need to repeat. There's no need to go into the files and take out an old rerun. The Torah is so rich, and every year we study it on a higher madriga. All our lives, such an easy question. His name should be Shama'im. Ask a guy in the street, why is he not called Shama'im? Now already, it took an hour and 15 minutes to explain that answer to him now. Yiratzon, Shakadosh Baruch Hu should continue to be Yishma'il. That if Hashem is good to the Goyim, Kal Vachomer has to be good to us. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Adi Ha'alina Baruch Amen. Baruch Hu's going to say in the Tichah. Chorban, the Torah, the Yadir.